Let's make our confession. Hold up your Bible. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's Word. And because I'm a doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. And everybody said, amen. Come on, greet somebody next to you. Tell them you are in the right place. Oh, gosh, you are in the right place. I'm telling you, you should be here. Thank God you are. I'm telling you. So we receive it from the Lord. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. How many received the Spirit of God just now? Praise God. Now, if there's manifestations where you received your healing, I'm not going to do it right now because I don't want to take more time. But if there's manifestations, come up after service, let us know that you couldn't move your arm or you couldn't do something or you were feeling sick or whatever, and God has already healed you, because suddenly some things does happen. Sometimes God takes a little bit of time with it, but it's already yours in Jesus' name. So everybody said amen, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 30, Deuteronomy the 30th chapter. Finally, we're going to read the whole thing. I'm not going to fool with it. I'm just going to read the whole thing, and then we'll come back. We'll do the backfilling later. But right now, I'm going to get sidetracked. I know I am. I try not to, but there's so many things, so many nice little nuggets in God's Word until we get pulled to the side and left and right and all that kind of stuff. Anyhow, so let's go to Deuteronomy 30. Get it on the board. Let's continue. We're going to read this entire chapter of Deuteronomy 30. And then we're going to dissect it, because I've been giving you bits and pieces out of it as we've been studying. Lord, what is it? How in the world can I do this? What do I owe you? What do I owe God? What do you owe God? I said, what do you owe God? What do you owe God? Then we should act like he is the owner of everything. He is. So we owe God everything. I have nothing that is not his. Everything is his. My kids, his. Hello. My dog. My frog, my hog, everything I got. My wife, she's mine, but she's his. I mean, everything is mine. I mean, everything is his. I don't have really anything that is my own. And but thank God that he allows us, even the money I have, ain't mine. It is not mine. It ain't yours either. You thought it was. What do we owe him? Have you asked somebody, they do something for you? What do I owe you for that? You're hoping they're saying nothing. You know what I mean. You ask them, what do I owe you? They go and do something. I just had my son just yesterday. I needed some twine because we're putting up a badminton setup so my wife can get beat all the time playing badminton with me. You know, y'all didn't think that was funny. That's because she beat me last time, 2 out of 3. But I'm going to get her back. But anyhow, so I needed some twine to be able to put my little stakes in the ground. And so I called Don Jr., who was coming to pick up the kids. I said, hey, could you stop by the store and get me some twine? And he brought the twine to me, and I was like, I need to pay him for this. This is not right. I said, how much was the twine? He said, about $7. I said, here's some money. He wouldn't take it. But at least I asked. Some of us just eat dinner, don't even think we got to pay the bill. Come on now. I remember my mom used to work at the beach club out at Fort Lewis, the North Fort Beach Club. There's a north side and south side, and the north part is where she worked. And because she worked in the cafeteria and fixed food and had everything prepared, we thought because she worked there, when we come to the beach during the daytime, because school was out, we go to the beach club during the day while she was working. My dad was in the military. He was in Korea at the time. And we go in there, we load up on all the soda pop we could, and we thought we could have free potato chips. We ordered hamburgers. We ate everything. And one day, one of the staff members came and said, excuse me, you got to pay for that. He said, my mom works here. What you talking about? He said, you still got to pay for it. I said, really? Somebody's got to pay. So God has paid the price for us, for your sins. He paid for your salvation. Jesus paid a price. Somebody got hurt over your sins. Somebody suffered. Somebody had to die because we committed sins against God. Somebody had to die. Somebody had to shed their blood, and God left your blood running in your veins nice and warm, And you know, whenever people see blood, it's always an emergency. And even people that don't know God, they see blood, it's an emergency. Oh, he's bleeding. Why? Because the Bible says life is in the blood. Because Jesus spilt his life then for us on the cross. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 1. Now it shall come to pass, he's talking to the children of Israel, God's people, they're coming out of bondage. When all these things shall come upon you, please underline that, God has some things just coming on you. Now, I want you to underline that word come, because we're going to deal with it in several different ways over the series that I'm doing here. I don't know if I'm going to finish this series even before the end of the year, because there's a lot in this Deuteronomy 30, and there's so many branches we got to go to. So Deuteronomy 30, verse number 1, it says, these things come upon you. Say, things are coming upon me. Today, things are coming upon you. Either good things are coming upon you or bad things are coming upon you. Have you ever had some bad news hit your door or hit your mailbox or somebody with a phone call nowadays with a text? Let me just say this. Don't send me no stupid texts. I ain't fooling with no more stupid texts. I've learned I don't deal with no more stupid texts. You know what people do? They hide behind their phones. You'll text all this big and bad stuff, but then people say, well, let's talk. I ain't got time. I don't want no more stupid texts. I'm deleting all the stupid texts, and I'm liable to block you. Now, I don't get that many anyhow. I don't know what I'm talking about. It just feels good to say it. But but you know, it's sort of weird, because God wants us to come to him. But here it says, these blessings or these things will come upon you. Good comes on you and bad comes on. Continue to read. It says, the blessing and the curse. I told you, one or the other. Blessing and the curse. So what's coming on you? There's some people, I can't buy a blessing. Shoot, I mean, it's so hard for me. That's because you keep saying that. Your confessions have a lot to do with what you possess. You possess your confession. Your confessions become your possessions. So if you don't like what you got, stop saying what you're saying. Now that's scripture. See, and people want to say, well, it's naming and blaming. No, I'm naming and blabbing and grabbing. That's blabbing and grabbing. Now, Pastor, you just saying blabbing and grabbing. Well, if that's what it is, then say what it is. I don't care what it is. I'm going to say it because I'm supposed to say it. If I want it, I should say it. You know, my dog's name was Tiny. If I wanted Tiny, I called Tiny. I didn't call Rufus. I called Tiny. Now, Rufus wasn't even a dog that we had. It's just a name I just made up. But see, I wouldn't call him something that he's not. If you want money, call money. You want sickness, keep talking about how sick you are. You want healing, call some healing in here. You want some blessings, call the blessings upon you, even if you feel cursed. And start acting in a way that causes blessings to come upon you, upon you, upon you, upon you, upon you. You can't buy blessings. You really can't even earn blessings. Blessings come upon you because of your obedience, and you're not earning anything when you're obedient to the Lord. You're just pleasing God, and really you're pleasing yourself. You're happiest when you're serving God. Some of the most miserable people are the people that turn their back on God. They're just crazy. They turn their hair all kinds of colors and, you know, tattoo glue and put holes all in their head. I'm so sick of women with them stupid ball bearings in their nose. Snot in the ball bearing. You're already ugly. I don't know what you're putting it in for. And I'll be sitting there trying to, you know, I'm at the store buying donuts. And they got a ball bearing. And I don't know who got this. You may have one right now. I ain't talking to you. I never saw it. God saw it. But you can put whatever you want in your head. People got holes in their head. You know, holes in their tongue, holes in their lips. You hate yourself. Yeah. And you hate yourself because you hate God. Because you made it in the image of God. Now, y'all want to shut up right now. You don't want to say amen. Because you got some co-workers like that, and you don't want them to see you on TV, right? You can say amen. We'll blot you out. We'll just do a cutaway with somebody else. See, we got to get real. This is what people are crying out. How in the world? I was looking at a lady. She had so much. She had run out of places to put holes in her head. I'm saying, why do women always want to do this? A whole lot of women do this. Ladies, come on, talk to me. Tell me, why are they doing that? Because they can't find a man, or the man to beat him up, or what? What's going on? Wake up. I'm trying to talk to you. What is going on? Why do people do this? Why do they do this? Why do they do it? I don't know why they do it. Why? And this, what is the thing with this? Do you know a ring in the nose is how a cow is pulled around? Are you calling yourself a heifer? I mean, you're calling yourself. I got to get this tape. I'm buying this one myself. I ain't lying. I'm listening to this. But see, we don't realize our inner man is talking. And saying, I'm hurting. Well, you're hurting because you don't have Jesus. I have no other remedy for you. See, because, you know, one of the reasons why I try to make us laugh a lot, first of all, I came out of entertainment, so I can't help it. And next of all, my mom was the funniest person you ever want to talk to on the planet, even though she's insulting you at the same time. You're just cracking up. It's funny. And she called you fathead. What you doing? I ain't seen you in a week, and you got fatter over, you know, in the last week. Thanks, Mom. Good to see you. Don't be saying that to me, boy. Get in there and clean up that room. Okay, Mom. But see, God wants us to be able to realize that he has something coming upon you. It's good stuff. I'm telling you, there's some good stuff. This, in this congregation, you want to be part of this church. You want to be part of this year is the year of restoration. Man, I need to show you some of the stuff that's been restored for me. See, the thing about it, you want to say, well, that's you, Pastor. That ain't even scriptural. I am called an example to the flock. So you want to get under a stupid example? Go to another church where somebody ain't really called to pastor is running in the church. Okay, you don't believe me. We're still going to finish this because I'll speed read. But here we go. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I got to show this to you because people think they don't need an example. You need an example. Are you part of the flock of God? Are you sheep? Bah. I was listening to some music, and you know, I love musicians, and I love music, and I didn't realize I loved it as much until I almost went to hell, you know, and back, and all the stuff that I saw, and then I came back, and after I heard all that music in heaven, I was like, man, it's not what you see in heaven, it's what you hear. This is wild. I'm gonna search for music, and find all this music. You know, I got a new song today we're gonna listen to before we leave, as we leave, but I'm telling you, God is something else. And we need to know that God wants you to have an example of who to live like. Jesus came down as an example. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 3. That's where we're going to go. We're not going to go much further because we got to get back and read the rest of that. It says, well, you got to do two. You got to do two or three. Doesn't make any sense. Okay, he's talking to the leaders, the elders, the pastors of the churches. This is Peter. Peter, the one that, you know, this upon this rock I will build my church. So I think he knew something about the church. God had given him revelation. He says, shepherd or pastor the flock of God. We're supposed to pastor the flock of God. How do you do that? Which is among you? I'm not pastoring this Lutheran church over here or this AG Assemblies of God church over here. I'm not pastoring them. I'm shepherding the flock of God, which is among you. You don't come among me, I don't pastor you. That's why I have other titles. To some people, I'm Mr. Shorter. To other people, I'm Dr. Shorter. To other people, I'm pilot or Captain Shorter. Because I am a pilot. I fly commercial helicopters, commercial airplanes, jet rated. Instrument rated. Okay? But I am not operating in that right now. I'm operating as shepherd, as pastor. It's just like I'm a grandpa, I'm an uncle, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a lot of things. But right now, I'm operating as shepherd. Now, Peter told the shepherds to shepherd. the flock of God. Now, if you're part of God's flock at this church, then I need to shepherd you. But if you don't want to be shepherded, you're not part of his flock. Because I ain't running after you. You ain't lost. You're running. People say, don't you care about so-and-so? They won't come to the church. They know what the address is. But the Bible says that you go for the lost sheep. They ain't lost. They're running. They're running away from the church. They're running away from God. They're running to sin. They don't want to be seen at the church because they get convicted. Ain't my fault because I'm not the convictor of sin. I gave you that scripture a couple of Wednesdays ago. The Holy Spirit is the convictor of sin. So when we read the scriptures, people go, you know, I'm like, you make me feel, oh, I want to go to church all the time. So they start skipping. And after a while, the devil will help you skip. And pretty soon you'll be skipping your whole life. You'll skip church until you go to hell. Because Christians can backslide and go to hell. Ask Judas. Believers, right? I mean, he wasn't a Christian yet because Jesus hadn't died on the cross, but he was a believer. He backslid. He went to hell. He is in hell. Well, he's on his way. I digress. Anyhow, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. If you ain't among me, I'm not worried about you. I can't, not as a shepherd, but maybe as a pilot. If you're on the airplane, I got to take care of you. I will captain you then. I'll be PIC, pilot in command. And I'll make sure that I do everything air traffic control tells me to do. If you're in my house, then you're my grandchild. I will grandfather you. If you're my wife, I'm going to take care of you, baby. Ain't going to say no more. But I'm going to take care of you, girl. Anyhow, so there's different things, different people in the same person. You the same way. Some of you try to be a mother when you're actually a daughter. Yeah. Stop trying to be the mother. You're the daughter to that person. Some of us try to run around and be something that we're not. Well, don't be who you're not. Play the right character. This woman is a playwright. My wife is a playwright. She puts the people in the character. She looked at the people and said, you'd be good as a shepherd. Oh, you'd be good as Herod. You're really mean acting. You got a bald head and you're mean. Oh, I'm sorry, Walter. Walter's not that mean. He just got a bald head. Anyhow, that's my in-law. So, you know, we can fight later and y'all won't even know that. Don't worry about it. Okay. Oh, he's got a bald head. He used to have a bald head. He used to have, you know, like George Jefferson, Wheezy's husband. He used to have, you know, a little hair on the side. Told him know about that. Yeah. But I watched it over the years. I watched it just fall off. And now he's bald, but he's cool. But don't grab the back of his neck because it just drives him bananas. Anyhow, I'm getting too personal. Okay, but shepherd the flock of God. Don't try to shepherd people that's not part of the church. And only the flock that's within you. So I'm not going down to Lutheran church and say, y'all really need to believe in the Holy Ghost. Some do, some don't. I'm not going to the Catholic and say, you really don't have to have confession. You should come to the Lord, not to that guy sitting in the box. I'm not doing that. I'm shepherding the flock that's within me. I'm not even going to other non-denominational churches and say, you guys sing the funny songs, you know, the ones that make you feel like you jump like a bunny. And we sing the soulful ones, you know, moving and grooving music, you know, stuff that sound like Barry White. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Don't do this where God's got to beat you in the head, pastors, to get you to do it. I do this willingly. I was talking to my wife last night and this morning. We both looked at each other and said, I can't wait for church. Man, we get to go to church tomorrow. Now, we just was here Wednesday, but I'm like, man, I'm hungry for going back to that church. I was telling my wife this morning, we sat down, we watched the television program at 7 o'clock this morning, which you missed. But anyhow, we watched it. Some of y'all didn't get that. Comes on 7 o'clock, channel 11. You ain't watching it, but you should. You'd be ready for service. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion. Don't do it because you have to. But willingly. not for dishonest gain. That's why your money don't mean nothing to me. I had money before I went into ministry. I had to quit. I was a businessman. I ain't looking for your money. I have a lot of ways I make money. The show got quiet up in here all of a sudden. Why does it get quiet on that? You need to say amen, Pastor. You don't need my money. God is your source. He's your source, isn't he? Yes. And I'll tell you this, you don't need that job. If you got fired tomorrow, God will still feed you. You'll still have a pot of beans. You know, you'll still get, the water will stay on. You'll still be able to flush the toilet. Everything will still keep going. God will take care of you. You got to know that. See, because then you don't become a servant to the job. Where all of a sudden the job is controlling you. You just work in there because that's where you are right now. See, there is nowhere else on the planet that I'm supposed to be. I know that. Than right here, right now. Now, come another 15, 20 minutes. Hey, if I can get out of here, I'm gone. Because I'm done. I did what I had to do. But you are, and you need to see that you going to church because this is where you're supposed to be. But not by compulsion or for dishonest gain. I'm not trying to get nothing out of you. I don't need to get anything out of you. But if you sow into my life and my wife's life and the ministers of this church's life, you're going to reap from the anointing on our life. It causes all this to happen debt-free. So I use my pastor. When I need a blessing, I'm sowing. Now I use my covering now. When I need a blessing, I'm sowing. I just sowed a whole lot. Now I'm expecting a return because I'm not stupid. I can't do everything by myself. And some things God put in your life just so you can know you can't do it without him. He puts things in your life that are impossible. So you have to go to him. And then we so sorry acting. We so prideful acting. I ain't going to God. Well, then suffer, sucker. You're stupid. That's pretty straight right there. I think that was pretty straight. I'm going to write that down. But see, people don't want to suffer. Well, I was suffering for the Lord. Well, yeah, because God wants to put something upon you, but you can't even stay still long enough for him to. Where'd he go? If he knows you in the house, he know you in that prayer area, man, he can put that stuff on you easy. But every time he turn around, you run around looking for some other God. You have to be totally committed to this stuff. To really get the benefits. You can't be halfway committed. And my time is up. But I'm going to go back and I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. We're going to read the rest of that scripture right there. We're going to just speed read it right through. Okay? Put it up there. We're going back to Deuteronomy 30, chapter number 30, verse number 2. Now, I'm going to go back to this and teach more on what I was just telling you about because we need to know. We need to see that the man of God is not there for other reasons. He is there to be a shepherd. He is there to be able to help you. He is there not to take from you, but he is to be there as an example. Please look at it on your own. It says, but he's to be an example to the flock. That means you need to look at your pastor and his wife. We have a responsibility. We got to get in contact to God. I got to give an account to God. I can't be screwing around with stuff in this church. I ain't getting in front of God and God say, well, I'm sorry. You ain't cut the mustard, buddy. You ain't coming in. Uh-uh. You messing with my people. And see, this is what people think. You don't realize people messing with you, that's stupid. They're stupid. They're stupid. They're stupid to mess with Christians that really serve God. You will kill yourself. You better leave me alone. Get out of my face. You don't like me? Don't tell me. Just go tell God. You need to leave me alone. I got too many haters right now. That's because we're doing something. You need to shut your mouth and get out of my face. Go to live stream so nobody can see your stupidness. Okay? Don't come up in here. Act a fool. I don't want you to come to this church unless this is your assignment. If this is not for you, you shouldn't be here. It's like taking a class. You can't just go into any class. Of course, you can ask, can I audit this class? You ain't going to get no grade, but let that you sit there and try to learn what you can. But you're not really participating. They're not going to give you the test. They're not going to put it in your record. You're just wasting your time, really. If you're serious, pay your money and take the class. And if you're serious, get your rump in this church, pay your tithes and give an offering. Did he say that? Yeah, he said that, and he means it. Why does he say that? Because he don't give a rip. He ain't trying to impress nobody. I'm trying to impress God. God gets happy, I'm happy. I ain't think about the rest of it. I shouldn't have been like this today. It's just too much. I told you it was that breakfast. Okay, let's continue. I'm going to read this last part. Go back, Deuteronomy 20, verse number 2. Is that what it is? Okay, and can we back up a minute so I can make sense? Okay. Okay. Blessing and curses, which I shall set before you. Okay. It says, now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse. Say the blessing and the curse. One of the two is coming on you, which I have set before you. I'm going to read it off the board so I can go as fast as I can. You call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. The children of Israel have been driven all over the world. There's Jews everywhere. Okay, continue now. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, obey his voice, obey his voice according to all that I command you today. So you're obeying his voice, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul. Continue, next verse, that the Lord your God, if you obey his voice, the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. Wherever you are bound, God is going to loose you and have compassion on you. God have mercy on us and gather you again and all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. In other words, where you was raggedy, scattered, you away like the children of Israel got so scattered because they did not serve God like they were supposed to. And we do the same thing. We don't go from one nation to another, but we go from one relationship to the next relationship. Next bad situation to the next bad situation. Next lawsuit, one to another. But God wants to be able to bring you back and settle you. Say, settle me. Say, settle me, God. Continue, next verse, please. If any of you are driven out of to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Do you see God wants to be with you? Okay, continue. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper, underline this, prosper you. You cannot prosper yourself. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers, he told the children of Israel. But this is the nature of God, to prosper you. Stop talking negative about prospering. God wants people to prosper. And he does that by them being obedient to him. Stop talking negative. You just want to, because that's what your heart is. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the ones that's not pure and the unbelieving, nothing's pure. So every time they look at people, they say stupid stuff that's in their own heart. Well, you just want to take all the money. That's because you would take all the money if you were in that position. I have never, ever abused the money in this church. Almost 40 years. There's been a lot of money come through this church. I never abused it. Never. Never would. It ain't my money. They pay me what they feel like paying me, and I cash my check just like everybody else. Ain't nobody getting no special savings. I got a big old lump of some. I've given a lot of money. Especially like when we won that $6.5 million lawsuit, the class action suit. It gave 30 individuals or so a bunch of money. Take your calculator and divide it up. I don't care. But, you know, I gave a lot of that money to this church because we was finishing this building. It was on the weekend that we moved into this building that we got that lawsuit settled. Over discriminating over our children, treating them like dogs in the Puyallup School District because they were black. And we verified it. It was a pattern of practice. And I sat down with Judge Arnold, the U.S. District Judge, and our attorneys, to help them to make the decision on what would happen with that school district, the Puyallup School District, which is why they got so many chocolate people and brown people out there now. Because they had to make a 10-year agreement to stop avoiding hiring black teachers and brown folk. We had a 10-year injunction. And so we took a lot of that money and put it in this church. My daughters put a lot of this money in this church. My son even put some money in this church because they were part of that lawsuit. And then, so it burns me up when people are like, you just want to get something from the church. Shut up. You can put 5 cents in. And the first thing I want to, you got a question about the money in the church? Let me check your tithing record first. We're going to check your record first. Oh, you give $5 a week, huh? So you must make $50 a week. I don't know how you're paying your rent. Don't come to me. I don't know why I'm doing this today. Don't come to me talking about no stupid money until we pull your record, and I got it. I get it every month now. They said, Pastor, we ain't playing this no more. We're giving it to you every month. You're going to know what everybody's doing every month. Now, I'm not going to do like my former pastor. He published it, sent it out in a newsletter every month. And we were number three consistently. And I was 21 years old because I was in broadcasting. But it says here, and the Lord your God, see, people are not ready for this straightness. Yeah. They're ready for playing little shell games with the congregation kind of pastors. But I'm not playing that. Yeah. I have a choice. I can be a soft, weak, dead pastor too. But I'm not doing it. I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth. So when I go home, I ain't got to think about you. Because I gave you everything I had. Prayed for you, believed for you, preached to you, sang to you. Done everything else I can do. I ain't doing nothing. I'm going home, eat me some food, and go sit down and watch some TV. And you're going to do the same thing. You just ain't inviting me over. And I don't want to go over. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. That's what he's done with us. And the heart of your descendants, that's us, to love the Lord, to love the Lord. Do you love the Lord, your God? Do you love the Lord? Yes. Some of you act like you hate God, but you come to church. I don't know what you're going to do when you get to heaven. How in the world you hate coming to church and you talking about you're going to go to heaven where you can't escape. There ain't no escape hatches there. And they worship God all day long. Now, that's not all you're going to do. You're going to have some work to do. But I'm telling you, you better love God before you get there, or you need to pray to just go to hell. Because you're going to be miserable. Because I'm telling you, you want to be there enjoying that thing. I can't wait. I'm going to wait, but I can't wait. I'm going to wait, but I can't wait to get there. I told my wife yesterday, I said, girl, do you realize we're going to be in heaven together? We got eternity. I said, that's eternity. We're going to be there forever. I get to look at your mug all the time. See, we love each other, so we have fun. We just act crazy. We're just buddies and lovers and husband and wife and mothers and grandfathers and old people. All that stuff. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and your heart and your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with... And that you may live, that you may live, that you may live, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies. You better tell them, leave me alone. I'm putting out a warning right now. Don't mess with Pastor Sharda. Don't mess with me. The anointing is increasing. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with my wife. Don't mess with my kids. Don't mess with my grandkids. God will kick you a new one. Don't do it. You don't like me? Just shut up and move. Don't come here. But if you love me, we're going to have a good time. That's what God says in his word. You love him, woo, God takes care of those that love him. Man, they're moving and grooving because you're either cursed or you're blessed. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses upon your enemies and all those that hate you. There's some people, I said it, I was watching on television this morning, they had a rerun this morning, that I said, there's some people that just hate me. They just hate me. I'm saying, why did I say that? Because there's some people that hate me, I guess. There's some people that hate you. They just can't stand the Jesus in you. And they sometimes persecute or work against you. They try to plot against you. Well, God will take care of them. Don't you try to take care of them. In fact, the Lord says, stop coming against your enemies. That's not unfair. I'm already coming against them. That's too much ganging up on them. Don't do that. Let me do that. Okay, let me come against your enemies. Don't you do that, because that's unfair. Because now both of us are doing it. It's okay. Well, you handle it. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord your God and do all his commandments. Tell me when I get to the end of this, because I'm going to read till the end, which I command you today. Continue. The Lord your God will make You abound in all the work of your hands, so you ain't gonna work in vain. In the fruit of your body, your children are blessed, everything that comes out of you. In the increase of your livestock, you're gonna have lots of steaks in the, no, I'm just kidding, in the freezer. No, you're not. No, it's all your locks. Of course, they're speaking of the livelihood that they would have. And in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord your God again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. God wants to rejoice over you. He don't want to moan and groan over you. Come on, we're going to continue. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his command, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, you are not hearing Pastor Shorter right now. You are hearing the Lord your God. I am reading to you what God said. When you read it, you're not hearing yourself. You're hearing what God said. See, well, there's not enough amens in here. Don't you realize this? Y'all think it's just not me. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which were written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. How many turn to the Lord with all your heart and your soul? We're almost done. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious, it ain't weird, for you, nor is it far off, it's not far. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it, continue. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. I told you a few weeks back, he told me the word is nigh you. That's what it says in the King James Version in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 8, which is where this is repeated as a New Testament scripture. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. God wants you not just read it. He wants you to do it. See, I have set before you good, death, I'm sorry, life and good, one or the other, death and evil. You can be able to choose that. In that I command you today to love the Lord, to love your Lord, to love the Lord. Don't put up with God. Get to the point where you love God. You love the church. You love the word. You love serving God. You love giving to the kingdom. You love God's people. You know, don't have it. Just put up with God's people. There's another church, folks. Yeah, I got to put up with them. You love the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. Continue. Rose? It's cut off? Your computer stopped, huh? Interesting. What was that again? We need a new computer? Is that what you're saying? Oh, you have to reduce the font. So you reduce the font. That's verse number 16. Okay, because I was reading it just off of you, but I'll go ahead and pick it up. Verse 8, this is, okay, but it's not Hebrews chapter 10. I need to not go there. Okay, can I finish this? Can I finish it? The smorgasbord is still going to be going on. They're still going to be having the brunch when we get done, okay? So just give me a minute. Okay, and I told you we would get out at 12:17. I lied. I'm sorry. I didn't want to, but I wanted. I told you I was also going to finish this, and that's more important to the Lord to me, is to finish this, okay? Can I do that? If you got to go catch a plane, go head out and go catch the plane. I'm not angry with you or nobody really upset with that. I just have to make sure that I finish what God put in my heart to finish, and I'm having a tough time even having my computer come up right. Okay, there we go. All right, and 30, because I don't want to, okay, 30, and it keeps going to the wrong thing. That's interesting. They messing with your computer and mine at the same time? Okay, so what is yours? Yours is just locked up, right? No, I got a phone here, but I don't want to use that. See, that's so weird. Okay. That is so weird. That's so funny. That is so crazy. Wow, that's really funny. Okay, I'll read it out of here. That's okay. I'll use another contraption called glasses. Okay, we're on verse number 16, right? We're almost done. Okay, but I'm just determined to read this. That's okay. I'll go ahead and just read it. Verse number 15 says, "See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods," like your car, your house, your kids, your spouse, your dog, your cat, the whales, trees, other stuff, "I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness to you against you, witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death." There's no third thing. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. Either you're blessed or you're cursed. Therefore, this is open book test. Choose life. That both you and even your children you're going to affect, your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God. That you may obey his voice, not just hear it. That you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. Close your Bibles. Father, I thank you that you have given us promises of life, of blessings, and that we can choose these things. We're not forced away from them, but we can choose them. And so I seal this time in this word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to be able to hear it. And now to obey it. Help us, Lord, to be conscious of this. Let the records in heaven show that I read the truth of your word to your people. They received it. They have it. And I pray, God, that they do it. And I give you glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.